is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day it is today. It's wonderful because we have the opportunity each day of our lives to open up and study the magnificent Word of God. I'm Tex Mars, and you know, that is my firm belief. Oh, we'd be lost today. We have no compass without the Holy Bible. That's why I believe absolutely in the King James Version of the Bible. It was written by God. It is directly from the Textus Receptus. The Bible was received by God, given to holy men by Him, who wrote as they were commanded to and inspired by the Holy Ghost. Friends, these men did not write words from their own imagination, but they wrote as God commanded them to. And now we have this Bible that we can use for our edification, our enjoyment, our pleasure, our blessing, our instruction, and, well, it's just a daily guide to our lives. You know, I once spoke before a large meeting of so-called Christian psychologists and counselors that came from all over North America, even around the world. I was invited to speak to that group, and boy, they all got mad at me. Because when they came into the auditorium for me to speak, I was the only person there that I could see that had a Bible. These men call themselves Christian psychologists, Christian counselors. They had come all the way from their home places to Florida for this big conference. Oh, they were going to learn how to be better Christian psychologists and counselors. Many of them already had big names, and some of them were professors at various Bible colleges and so forth. They got mad at me because I stood up on that dais, that platform, and I told them that this book that I had in my hand, and it was the King James Bible, is the only book they needed as a psychologist. I said, if you do not use this book in your counseling of Christian people who come to you for help, if you do not use this Bible as your guide for counseling, then you're a liar and do not call yourself a Christian counselor. Don't use books by Freud and Jung and all of the other secular ungodly psychiatrists and psychologists, and not use the Bible. That's incredible. The Bible has the key to life. It has the key to an abundant, better life. And every problem can be handled through the Word of God. That's what I told these men, because I had noted they didn't even have a Bible in their hands. And there they were, come to learn how to be better Christian psychologist. And then I told them something that got them so angry. I told them that if they didn't use the Bible as their chief means of counseling their clients, then they should go to the front of their building or their church or wherever they were housed in their offices, and they should take that little shingle off the door that said Christian counselor, Christian psychologist. You may be a counselor or a psychologist, I told them, but don't dare to call yourself a Christian psychologist or counselor unless you use this Holy Bible in your counseling work. Well, they got so mad at me. I was supposed to speak the next night as well. I'd been invited to speak two nights in a row. And I guess the next day they had conferences and they had meetings all day talking about that evil, mean old, ignorant Tex Mars. I arrived there at the chapel there. This big conference center is really what it was, but they had a chapel there. And I arrived there About 5 minutes before I was to speak, Juan and I came in the front door, and we were going to go on to the back and prepare to go out, and I was going to meet Dr. Clyde Naramore. He was the guy. He puts out a magazine called Psychology for Living, I think it's called. He was the mentor for Dr. James Dobson, the guy that taught Dobson. He was the head of that conference. And boy, he was waiting for me at the front door, though. I came in, and he met me at the front door. There, 5 minutes I was supposed to be on the stage speaking. And he said, Brother Tex, we had a meeting, and it's been decided, I'm sorry to say, that we'd rather you not speak tonight on the subject you're going to speak on. I said, really? What subject do you want me to speak on? He said, well, we would rather you not speak tonight. Really? Isn't that fabulous? They brought me all the way from Florida to speak twice. And, hey, paid my way and everything. I got a free Florida trip out of it and only had to speak once. Glorious. Well, I didn't really say that exactly, but I thought about that. But you know what I felt like, my friends? I figured those guys had heard enough in one night that lasts them for a long time. Didn't matter if they wouldn't let me speak the second night. And you know, I'm not going to force myself on people. I told them the truth the first night. Got them so mad as Christian psychologists. They didn't use the Bible, and that's why they got mad at me. The Bible says, my friends, have no part with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And friends, when you call yourself a Christian psychologist or counselor, and you don't even use God's word in your work, why, you're just a buffoon and a liar. And I hope some psychiatrists and psychologists are listening to me right now. Throw out your books. You know, friends, I used to teach at 3 different universities. And one of the subjects I taught was psychology. Well, I've renounced that a long time ago. One time I was in a church in Austin, Texas, a Nazarene church. I'll go wherever God tells me to call, even if I don't believe in every little thing that they do. And if they ask me, I tell them they may throw me out there in these churches too. I've been thrown out of a lot of churches. Or sometimes they're nice enough to let me speak and they just tell me I'll never be invited back. But in any case, this church, at the end of the service, and by the way, there was one man that got mad at me there. During the sermon, I spoke out against so-called Christian rock and roll music. Said it's not Christian at all. There's no Christian alcohol, liquor. There's no Christian adultery. And there's no Christian rock and roll. Well, about that time, some young man, he was about 17 or 18, I think he was. He had long hair. Was wearing some filthy-looking satanic heavy metal group T-shirt. He jumped up from his seat, gave me the meanest look. Everybody sort of looked around at the kid, and he stomped out of the church and slammed the church door. I knew right away he was a Christian rock and roller. But he was the only one that objected my message that night, it seemed. And after the service, had one man come up to me, and he said, "Do you remember me, Brother Tex?" I looked at him, and you know, I remembered his face, but I couldn't remember the name. And I says, "Well, I do. I remember you, but I can't quite place it. Help me out." He says, "Well, the reason you can't remember me," he says, "you know, you used to teach psychology, college psychology." I said, "Yes." He said, you taught a course called Adult Psychology, or Crises in Adult Adjustment." I said, "Yes, I remember that." He said, "Well, boy, what you talked about tonight was sure different from what you talked about it when you used to teach at the university, psychology." He says, "I liked it a lot better tonight." And I laughed so big. And then I recognized the man. I said, "Yes, I know you. I recognize you. You're one of my students." And I said, praise God. I said, "Well, were you a Christian at the time you took that college course?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "You know, you were like some of my other college professors." He says, "I mean, you never said any bad words or anything. You were one of the best professors I had at the time." He said, "I thought you were really good." But he says, "Everything you taught was, you know, sort of secular." And then I was really shocked when I found out you were going to come speak at our church and you're a minister. And I said, "Well, you know, God really moved my heart a number of years ago, and I rededicated my life to Christ. And God told me to renounce all that psychology stuff." He said, "Well, that's really an amazing thing, because, you know, you were one of the best teachers of psychology I'd ever known." I said, well, yeah, you know, the Apostle Paul was probably one of the best teachers of Talmudic Judaism. I mean, that's why he was given such a big responsibility, even to go out and persecute Christians and bring them to prison. But he renounced all that when he found out the truth. And he said, well, I just wanted you to know that I really enjoyed the message tonight, Brother Mars. And I said, well, I enjoyed giving it. You see how God works, my friends? Here was a man that had listened to me teach a bunch of baloney that the world calls wisdom. The world called what I taught wisdom. I'm sure I could have had three great professors or chairman of departments, and they could have said, boy, that Professor Tex Morris, he's a great college teacher. In fact, when I was at the University of Texas, I was nominated by my department for the award of the most outstanding teacher on the campus. And they had, I think, 1,700 instructors and professors there. Well, in any case, I'm glad that I teach strictly Jesus Christ and the Bible today and tell the truth about what he's going to do and what he's doing, what great things he has done, in fact. And today we're going to talk about the fact that he's coming back as king. He is king right now. Don't wait for him to be king someday. There is a Zion right now. And the Apostle Paul said, when you accept Jesus Christ, you're brought into the nation of Zion, the great heavenly city. You are part of the Israel of God. You are Abraham's seed. You're heirs to the promise. Friends, you get the whole package. Some people think, well, I'll become a Christian now, and then later on I'll get the Holy Ghost, and then later on I'll get to heaven. And listen, friends, you're brought nigh unto Zion. You become a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. You're not an earthling anymore. You may be surprised to know you're not even an earthling. You're a citizen of heaven. You're just a pilgrim passing through. And don't get to be loving this place too much down here very much. God doesn't want you to love this place. You're to seek the spiritual things, the heavenly things. Think on those heavenly things. Well, there is a king. There is a Zion. If you try to build an earthly Zion, you're a fool. There is no Zion without a king, and there is no king but King Jesus. If you just remember that fact, oh, now the Judaizers are going to try to tell you they're building an earthly kingdom here on earth. And they're going to invite Jesus to come down and take it. Oh, really? Oh, really? You know, Jesus could have already had it if he had wanted an earthly kingdom. The Bible says instead that God has a temple built without human hands. And heavenly Jerusalem will descend from heaven. Friends, it ain't going to be built here on earth. And every person who attempts to build an empire becomes a bloody empire builder. There'll be death and suffering and brutality in your seeking to build a kingdom on earth. Every great empire that has been built is built on the blood and the sweat and the tears of human beings. From Rome to the United States, global empires. Now they want to build a Jewish empire on planet Earth, headquartered, capitaled in Jerusalem. What fools. There is the earthly Jerusalem. Forget it. There is the heavenly Jerusalem. Praise God. Let's go for the heavenly Jerusalem. I don't want to be part of this earth. There's going to be new heavens and a new earth, Peter said. You want to keep the old earth? You want to build a kingdom here? You'll have to massacre so many Palestinians to get it. You'll have to kill so many Muslims and all the others to get it. If that's what you want, we'll send all your money and all of your military forces to Israel and let them kill all the Palestinians, let them nuke them all, and they can build their great earthly kingdom. But let me tell you something, friends. That's not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, and listen to this. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. It's a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you when you accept Jesus. What fools to think they can build an earthly kingdom. I'm not even going to attempt it. I'm not going to pick up a rifle and say I'm going to build a kingdom. Here's the way to build a kingdom. Worship Jesus. Love God. Obey His commandments. Teach His commandments to others. And there you are building a kingdom that will never fall. Every kingdom falls, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Not this one kingdom. It will never fall. And you, as a citizen of that kingdom, listen, you have total security. The wall is built so high that no enemy can get in. And when you want to attack an enemy yourself, you can do it. I've always loved thinking about, you know, where Peter was told that he could smash hell's gates, you know. The gates of hell wouldn't withstand him. Think about that. You see, a lot of people think the devil is attacking God's people all the time. Well, he does attack us quite a bit. But listen, God didn't say, now when the devil attacks you, your wall will hold him off. Here's what Jesus said. You attack, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand up to you. It's like Jericho. God told him, just do A, B, C, and the walls will fall. Jericho. Joshua didn't sit back and say, oh my goodness, they're going to come out of those walls and they're going to attack us and kill us all. He went up against them. He conquered them. And he didn't do it. What did he have? Did he have cannonballs? No. Did he have nuclear weapons? No. The walls fell of their own accord because he obeyed God. Listen, friends, you obey God. And the devil cannot build gates to withstand you. It's you doing the attacking. It's the devil that's in trouble when he tries to stop you. Because Jesus, the revelation says, he openeth the door and no man can shut it. And he shuts the doors and no man can open them. I've seen that. One time somebody told me, I'm going to cut your books off from bookstores. I'm going to make sure that your books are not sold in bookstores. That door is closed to you, Tex Mars, because of your teachings. No problem. No problem. My books, if God wants them out there, my message will live or die based on what God wants. That's right. The doors will open. Friends, when a door closes to me, I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. All I have to do is just look around a little bit. The next day, a new door will open, bigger, with greater possibilities and avenues and vistas than existed before. That old door was nothing, my friends. Now a new door is open, a fresh door. You step out with God in faith, and the doors just open supernaturally to you. Every door that closes, I have found that two or three new doors open up to the gospel message. They cannot shut you down. Friends, I've been visited by the FBI. I've been audited by the IRS. I've been targeted by these Jewish groups. And we continue to preach the truth. So here today, we have a short time to give the message. Continue our series, No King But Jesus, and No Zion Without a King. And first of all, we always have the music. We have the beautiful cathedrals, and they're singing a song. Boy, I like this. All the glory belongs to Him. To Jesus. All the glory belongs to Jesus. I like that. I like that. Don't go attacking the devil unless Jesus is beside you. And when you're finished attacking the devil and you're victorious, turn to Jesus and say, all the glory goes to you, Lord. With you, all things are possible. Here are the cathedrals, and then the remaining minutes, my message for today.
Of how He brought us here, gave us hope and banished all our fears. But from our many differences, His love has made us one. This song we sing has only just begun.
King. And I just read you what God said, didn't I? There in Hebrews. God himself, God spoke to his son and said, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And he says, Thy throne, O God. This is God talking to Jesus. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Lord said unto my Lord. Whoa. And Jesus says, To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He is king. That's the truth. Unfortunately, Paul said, Pilate answered back to him, what is truth? What is truth? He didn't even know. But wait. Maybe he did have a glimpse. Because listen to this. Listen. When Pilate brought Jesus out, scourged as he was, bleeding as he was, having been mocked and spat upon and beaten by the Roman soldiers, when he introduced him to the people, Pilate brought him forth to the multitudes of Jews that were out crying for his crucifixion and saying, you know, crucify him. And Pilate brought Jesus out and he said, behold your king. I think Pilate got a glimpse of glory. Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 15, but they, that is the Jews, cried out, away with him, that is Jesus, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And what did the Jews answer? Well, the chief priests answered for them, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, what a prophetic announcement that was. Can you imagine? Up until that time, they said, the Jews had said, we're looking for our king, our Messiah. We're awaiting his great appearance, waiting for the kingdom to come and the Messiah. But now in unison, the chief priests are answering Pilate. And what do they say? We have no king but Caesar. They themselves pronounced that their king would be Caesar. In other words, we don't want this Jesus as our king. Away with him. Crucify him. Give us Caesar as our king. They preferred Caesar over Jesus. The next verse says, then delivered he, that's Pilate now, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Pilate, because they insisted, we have no king but Caesar, and they insisted that Jesus be crucified, Pilate delivered Jesus therefore unto them to be crucified. And they, that is the Jews, that is the chief priests, and they took Jesus and led him away.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.